Come on.
Welcome to Money Savage, a savage approach to personal finance. This is George Grumbacher, and the time is right. Welcome to today's guest, the strong and powerful Mike Launier. Mike, are you ready to do this?
I am.
Excellent. Let's do this. Mike practices conscientious financial planning. He is an RMA, or Retirement Management Advisor, and he is the CEO of the Financial Preserve. I'm excited to have you on. Mike, tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why it is you do what you do.
I'm a financial planner and a registered investment advisor as required for being a comprehensive financial planner. I do this because I like to help people, I guess, and solve puzzles. Retirement planning is a kind of a complex puzzle, and it's intellectually challenging and a lot of fun to work on. And at the end of the day, it's also really terrific to be able to help people who are baffled by the puzzle or maybe confused by various things, and to help them clarify a plan for their retirement.
I think that that's great. I think that there's a lot of great analogies or metaphors to talk about financial advisory, but I think puzzles is certainly one of the really good ones. And to your point, I think that sometimes a lot of the individual pieces can be confusing to people, and it could be an IRA, it could be an insurance policy. These are all pieces. But more so, it's how do all the pieces fit together, and maybe one step further, what do we really want the puzzle to look like in the first place? So how do you like to get started?
Well, that's a good point. How you want the puzzle to look at the beginning or at the end is indeed the most important question. And I guess that's why I take a goals-based approach. An awful lot of financial advisory services, financial advisors, and even financial planners are investment-based. And their approach and their puzzle picture is pretty straightforward. You know, they're focused on total return. They're trying to manage somebody's money, their portfolio, and to basically get that to grow as much as they can. And that's sort of the beginning and the end of their puzzle and their picture. Retirement is completely different. It's what you do when the focus on earning money and saving money and making it grow in an investment-based plan. When that ends, that's when retirement begins. And it takes a different mindset and a different way of thinking about goals. Retirement goals are really different than investment goals. Retirement goals have to do with trying to figure out what kind of a lifestyle you want to live in retirement, how much it will cost, and how are you going to pay for it? And especially if it lasts a lot longer than you think it might, and ultimately you hope that it will last a great deal longer than you think it might. And of course, the longer it lasts, the more critical it is that the plan be a good one in the first place, or in fact, you might run out of money.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. You mentioned, and I know from your website that you are a fiduciary, which means that you're legally obligated to act in the best interest of clients, and you want to help people look at the entire picture and do goals-based advising. And I think sometimes people take that for granted, that it's kind of like, doesn't everybody do that? And you mentioned sometimes people are just more interested in focusing on the investments. And since we're talking about these puzzle pieces, I also think it's important to talk about, if you're working with a financial professional, which pieces do they offer? Maybe they offer all of them. Maybe they just offer some of them. And how are they compensated? Because that will certainly influence what pieces they're going to be focused on and if they're going to try to force that puzzle piece into your puzzle.
Yeah, no, exactly. There are so many different flavors of financial advice, I guess, and different business models. And of course, most folks, their eyes glaze over when you begin to talk about that sort of thing. They think it's all kind of, you know, putting a very fine point on something that they don't really understand very well anyway. But at the end of the day, I like to look at it as very straightforward, and that's what side of the desk does somebody sit on? Do they sit on your side, or are they on the other side, you know, selling to you? And people sell a lot of things. They don't just sell stocks or insurance policies. They also sell their services, and they sell their viewpoint and their philosophy. So everybody's selling something, I guess. But you know, the difference, I think, is that we're trying to get at is, you know, a fiduciary who puts the client's interests ahead of their own is not trying to, you know, sell a particular investment strategy, set of products, or you know, insurance policies, or any of that stuff. They're trying to help, you know, the individual make the best of their situation, so that, you know, they are able to achieve their goals, their own personal goals, whatever those are, and not, you know, trying to fall into place with whatever the firm that they're talking to, but the firm's goals, which usually have to do with having as many clients as possible and managing as much of those clients' money as they can, because they charge fees for that based on the you know, amount of money they manage. And those things can be in conflict if they're not properly worked through. So in my case, I focus right on the client from the beginning. I'm not focusing on their investment portfolio. I think it's terrific if they have one. It's probably pretty good to have life savings.
Sure.
But what we start with is, you know, the where the client is and where they're going. How, you know, first of all, how old are they? How soon are they thinking about retiring? Are they in their 40s or 50s, 55, 60, getting into the red zone, you know, in terms of maybe retiring at 65 or in their early 60s or later 60s? And how are they prepared for that? And what do they want to do in retirement? How much do they think they're going to need to support the things they want to do? Or do they have a big expensive bucket list? Or are they, you know, live a more modest lifestyle? So we try to identify the lifestyle, the kinds of expenses they're going to have. We look at their expected income, you know, from the basic stuff like Social Security and pensions, if they have that, plus any other income they may have from rentals or side businesses, or if they intend to continue working in some fashion in retirement. And then we look, you know, once that's in place, that allows us to build a household balance sheet. And I'm not talking about a net worth statement. That's a snapshot. A household balance sheet looks at, you know, the next 30 years. And it looks at those cash flows, income and expense cash flows, and calculates a present value for income and expenses and balances it. And the balancing factor is the current value of somebody's savings. Is there enough savings there to, along with the present value of income, to support the present value of their expected expenses for the next 30 years? And that's the key to building a plan that will help them achieve their goals. And as you can see, we've not even talked yet about the market and investment strategies. That's sort of the last piece of the puzzle, if you will.
I like it. So what you've just been referencing is that when you talk about building an income floor, that's understanding all the income that's going to be coming from all the sources when you are actually going to be retiring?
Yeah, I mean, essentially, the income floor is basically the amount of money you need to pay for your expected expenses.
Okay.
So, I mean, just think of it as if you need $50,000 a year or $100,000. Let's say you need $100,000 a year and you're looking at 30 years. You know, you're talking about $3 million in just straight cash. The present value of that would be discounted by some safe discount rate, maybe 2% or 3%. Let's discount it at you know, expected inflation of 3%. So it's going to be, you know, discounted less at 3% less than $3 million. But if you're, you know, if you're anticipating spending $100,000 a year for the next 30 years, you're going to need that. That's your income floor. That's what you need to pay for that. Anything else you have above that floor, let's say you have $5 million in savings, then that, you know, that additional $2 million plus is your upside and can be invested more or less safely in almost anything. Because if you lose that money, it won't change your lifestyle. It does not affect your plan. So it's your upside potential. It's you can look at it as it can support discretionary goals. It could be part of your legacy. It's long-term growth, but it's not necessary. It's not necessary for you to achieve your retirement goals because it's surplus in a sense. And so that's a great thing to have and a great place to be. But it's very important to be able to identify the difference between what you need and any surplus that you may have on top of what you need.
Yeah, I certainly appreciate that. I think that that's a great way to look at it. I also see that it's important to obviously set aside allocations for things like longevity. And that's certainly, I hope we all live a really long life, but that makes planning a little bit difficult.
Well, there's a lot of uncertainty in retirement planning. We don't know how long we're going to live. We don't know, how much our expected expenses are really going to cost because we don't know what the rate of inflation will be. We don't know what interest rates are going to be. We don't know, what our savings may earn in various, investments. There's so many, lots of uncertainties, but we can plan. So we make educated guesses, if you will, and apply those to a plan. And then every year we revisit that and adjust them based on another year's information. So part of what we try to do in a plan is to have a number of risk management strategies. So in a typical investment-based plan, basically for a total return plan, an investment advisor will look at balancing stocks and bonds and trying to come up with some sort of judgment about what the risk of that balance is and how suitable it is, which is, of course, a legally defined term for stockbrokers. They have to be able to justify the suitability of their product offerings to their clients. So, they're trying to come up with some sort of a risk balance thing that's suitable for the client, and it's sort of a one horse kind of an approach. This investment, total return investment, balanced investment portfolio. In the plans that we do, we look at four different portfolios, and we start with the floor portfolio, which is I call it the lifestyle floor portfolio, which is liability matched to that expected 30 years of expenses for your retirement lifestyle. And basically we build a tips ladder, which is a very safe way to provide cash in the future that is hedged against inflation, it's hedged against credit risk, it's hedged against business risk. It's pretty safe stuff. So if you need $50,000 in real dollars 10 years from now, if you buy a 10 years tips, that's what you'll get. You'll get $50,000 real dollars transported into the future. If you start building that ladder 10 years from retirement, at say age 55, you'll arrive at retirement at age 65 with the next 10 years of your retirement locked in, totally safe, with the amount of money you need every year in addition to whatever you're going to get from Social Security and pensions and so on, ready to go. It'll mature every year, drop into your bank account, and you'll have it for your expenses. And every year after that, you buy another 10-year tips, and you'll have 10 years into the future, to support your retirement going forward. So that's the key portfolio. Then we have a longevity portfolio, which I typically look at QLAC deferred income annuities. They're low cost. They come out of a deferred account. It's a recent innovation from the Department of Labor. And they're basically annuities that you can buy from your IRA that will start paying at age 75 or 80 or 85, you choose. You can layer them so that you could have one that starts at 80 and one that starts at 85. They're limited to 25% of your account balance or $130,000, whichever is the smallest. Each spouse can have one based on their own deferred account balance. And so it's a smaller part of your overall holdings, but it does provide lifetime income at the end of the plan when it might be, you know, useful to have that, take some pressure off whatever your savings are, and you can't outlive it. So typically, if you live more than 4 or 5 years beyond the date that it starts, depending on, say, if it's at age 85 or at age 80 even, if you live past age 85, then it's a win for you. You're starting to make money, if you will, and it's adding to your income for the rest of your life. So that's the second portfolio. We have one for spending and reserves, which is essentially cash. And it's a multiple. I look at it as a multiple of the amount of cash you need in any given year, in addition to Social Security and pensions. So maybe it's 1.5 or 2 times the amount you need in any given year. So if you need $50,000 plus Social Security and a pension, then your spending and reserve portfolio might be $75,000 or $100,000, kept basically in a ladder of CDs, or half in money market funds and half in CDs. And then the final portfolio, the one we bring up last, which is what the investment advisors start with, and that's your upside. Growth and legacy upside portfolio. And for me, it's basically a global equity portfolio of low-cost global equity index funds. It's a buy and hold portfolio. It's sized at, you know, to take up the amount you don't need to cover your expenses and the amount you don't need to cover your reserves, and the amount you're not investing in longevity. It's what's left over. And again, if it grows and things are what go well over 15 years, hallelujah, you've now got additional funds that you can use for discretionary purposes or for a legacy, or to expand your floor and build out a higher expected rate of lifestyle expense than you had anticipated. And if it falls and if it suffers from financial setbacks, which seem to come about every 10 years or so, mm-hmm. if not sooner, it's not a problem because, you know, your lifestyle is covered, you're protected. So we use these four different portfolios. Each one uses a different management technique. So it's a four-horse buggy as opposed to a one-horse kind of a thing.
I love it. That makes a lot of sense. And I think that those are strategies that everybody should familiarize themselves with a little bit more if they are not already. So thank you for that. And Mike, Savage Nation is ready for your difference-making tip. What do you have for them?
Well, I think the difference-making tip is to understand the difference between how you spend the first 20 or 30 years of your life as an investor, trying to build a portfolio and thinking about total return and reading about Wall Street and hearing from investment advisors and all that stuff, and realizing that there's going to come a point in time when you change from being, you know, an investor with an investment-based approach to being, you know, a retiree-to-be who has to start thinking about a retirement plan that has more dimensionality than just an investment portfolio. So you need to understand that turning point that happens somewhere as you start to get close to retirement, changing from investment-based to goals-based and using the four risk management portfolios and techniques, the different techniques, to allocate your resources to more than just investing goals. And that will make all the difference.
I love it. That is great stuff. That definitely gets a come on.
Come on.
So, Mike. Thank you so much for coming on. Where can Savage Nation learn more about you?
Well, you can look at my website, which is thefinancialpreserve.com, or you can email me at mlonier@lonierfinancial.com, and I'll be happy to respond to emails if anybody has any questions. And by all means, you can take a look at the website and see what you can glean from there. And I'm also on Seeking Alpha. I have posts that I put up there from time to time. So you can find me on, in the Seeking Alpha author list or whatever they call it.
Perfect. Well, Savage Nation, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Mike your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to thefinancialpreserve.com, shoot him an email, and take advantage of his expertise. And you can also find him on Seeking Alpha, and I will link all those in the notes of the show. Thank you again, Mike.
Thank you. I appreciate it very much. Thanks.
And until next time, keep fighting the good fight because we're all in this together. What's up, Savage Nation? Please support the show by subscribing, leave us a review, and definitely feel free to share us with somebody you think would like it.
Come on!